Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
We are going to be talking about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, something that I try to live out in my own life, something that is not easy to live out. It is challenging, it is hard, and it is rewarding for sure. If you can do this, if you can walk in this way, it is a blessing. Fabrice, hello, my friend. Good to see you. I'm so glad you're on here. And God's power always. Welcome, 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 welcome. So today I want to open up our Bibles and I want to share with you of this topic of obedience. Obedience, right? So this title of this message is Obedience Is. What is obedience? We're going to talk about that. We're going to learn what the Bible says about obedience. It has a lot to say. Spoiler alert. It has a lot to say of what obedience is. Hello from Lagos, Nigeria. Imo, Victoria. Hello, Kehindi. Hello, hello, hello. Glad you guys are all on. So well, let's start off by inviting God in. So Lord, thank you for this time. May you bless this gathering, Lord. May you bless the words of my mouth. God, may you speak through me to let your word go forth to your people and hear what you have to say, God, about obedience. Lord, open our hearts. Let them be prepared for the word you are speaking today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's jump in. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is the only verse that we are going to focus on today. So this is what Paul says. I'm going to read this one way, and then I'm going to read it in a different way. So it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. All right, all right. So let's read this a different way. This is from the Amplified Version in the Bible. So this is what the Amplified Version, how it says it. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, okay, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, that's your logical and your intelligent act of worship. Okay? So again, this whole idea of obedience. So a simple definition, a dictionary definition in the English dictionary, according to what it says, right? It says that obedience involves acting on the orders of an authority figure. Okay, so right away, we should all have the red lights flashing right in our minds saying, okay, there's an authority figure in our lives as Christ followers. That is Jesus Christ. That is God, right? He is our authority figure. And so it means acting on the orders of what God has told us to do. It says it often involves actions a person would not have taken unless they were directed to do so by someone of authority or influence. Okay, let me read that again. It involves obedience. It often involves actions a person would not have taken, meaning that I would not normally do this unless I was directed to do so by someone who has authority and influence in my life. Okay, so obedience is all over the Bible. It is everywhere. If you read through the Bible, you will read oftentimes of this obedience that we are called to do, that God has called us to live in obedience to him, right? And so, again, God is the authority figure in our lives. There are many other things and people who will say they are the authority figures in our lives, but truly we have an ultimate authority in our lives as Christ followers that we should be listening to, that we should be following. We should hear what God has said, and then we should follow and apply those things in our life. But here's something very interesting I want to share with you guys, is that the word obedience does not actually exist in Hebrew, okay? The word obedience, the actual word obedience does not exist in Hebrew, right? So the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And so oftentimes when you see in the Old Testament, whether that is in the first five books of Moses or it's in the prophets or wherever else it might be, the word obedience does not actually exist. And there's a different word that is used for obedience, and it is this word called Shema. This is a Hebrew word, and it's pronounced Shema, okay? I want everybody in the chat right now just to type in Shema. Type it just like you see it. Well, S-H apostrophe M-A-H, Shema. Okay? It's a very important word in Hebrew. Very, very important word. This is the Jewish people and the Hebrews at the time, the Israelites, would pray what they called a Shema. They would pray this prayer called a Shema, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind." And they would say this often as they were praying, as they were listening to the word being spoken in a synagogue or something like that. Yeah, so type it in the chat. I just want you guys to type this in, Shema. Okay, I want you to really think about this word. So anytime the word obedience is listed in the Bible, right, you should think of this word Shema. And so Shema means to hear the voice of God, let it enter through your ears, then find a place in your heart and your soul to bring a transformation within you, right? So this word of obedience is not simply just hearing what God has said, but it is allowing that word to go into us and to transform us from the inside out to then be able to act in obedience. So obedience in the Bible and in the Old Testament in Hebrew, obedience is hearing the voice of God and doing something with it. It's hearing and listening to God. Okay. So what's interesting as well, I'm giving you guys a lot of just kind of like in-depth kind of stuff with this word right now, but it's important to know all of this and because it really does set up the narrative of the Bible. And so the first usage of obedience, of this word Shema, right, is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, which is pretty early on in the Bible. And this is what Genesis 3, 8 says. And it says, "And they heard," this is Adam and Eve, "Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Okay, so the context of Genesis 3 is that this happens right after Adam and Eve have sinned. This is after they have disobeyed God. Okay, so that should be a clue. This is right after they have disobeyed God and they are hiding from God. So right after Adam and Eve commit the first sin in human history, their first act of Shema, of listening and hearing God, is to hide from him. So before, when Adam and Eve were walking with God, right? They commit this sin. They eat from the tree that God told them not to eat from. Now, when they were walking in obedience before to him, now they are walking in disobedience to what God has said. So the first, and oftentimes when you see a first usage of a word, a specific word in the Bible, it's very, very important. Okay? So when you see something for the first time, like the word obedience for the first time, it means something very profound in the Bible. It's very important why it's listed there. Again, so this sets up the entire narrative of the whole Bible. This sets up the separation from God, God's redemptive arc for all of human history, sending his son Jesus Christ to redeem us so that we can Shema, so that we can obey God in a right way again, right? So that we can live in the fullness of obeying God. So again, everything that I'm talking about, we're going to talk about later as well. But I just want you to know that the first usage of obedience, of hearing God and listening to what he says, comes right after Adam and Eve disobey him, which is super interesting, right? So it was obedience, now it's become disobedience. And so, again, let's talk about biblical context of what is obedience, okay? First thing is obedience is worship, all right? Obedience is worship. So again, what Paul says, he's urging, right? He's saying, "Brothers and sisters, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Okay, this is your true and proper worship of offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, or what the Amplified Version says, offering all of yourselves, dedicating your entire self as a living sacrifice. And I want to read this quote of what J.B. Phillips says. He's a commentator on Bible passages, has written a lot about the whole Bible. And so he says, he just kind of paraphrases this verse and says it this way. He says, "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God," so I see what God is doing, "I beg you, my brothers and sisters, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold," right? Don't let the world try to squeeze you into its own mold and do what it wants you to do, But let God remold your minds from within, right? Let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, moves towards the goal of true maturity. Okay, so this is what J.B. Phillips has to say, which is super interesting. I love the part where he says, don't let the world squeeze you in to its old mold, right? Paul, in Romans 12, 2, Paul says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Okay, but this whole point about a living sacrifice. Here's the problem with a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice can choose to get off of the altar. If you think of what Paul is talking about, he is speaking to a Roman audience who lives in a pagan society who makes sacrifices just as the Israelites did. They made sacrifices on the altar, but they would kill the animals before they sacrificed them, right? But Paul says to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. But a living sacrifice can say no. A living sacrifice can respond in disobedience. So I can say no at any time to offering all of myself to God. And oftentimes we do this. This is every day, maybe in our lives, right? That there is something in our lives that we choose to say no to God in, because that's our human flesh. We don't want to always obey God because it's sometimes hard to do. And because our flesh has desires, we have fleshly desires, we have human desires that we want to do and to act out in because it feels good for a momentary pleasure. It may gain us something for our own selfish gain. It might make things better for a little bit of time. But whatever it is, we can choose at any point in our lives as a living sacrifice to say, you know what? I don't want to get on the altar today. I'm done. Not feeling like giving all of myself. I'll give you this part, God. I'm going to be kind of half obedient, which is disobedience in itself, by the way. I'm going to be half obedient. I'm going to give $5 to this person instead of the $100 you actually wanted to give them, or whatever example you want to use, right? It doesn't have to be money. It could be, I'm not going to forgive that person wholly. I'm going to hold on to a little grudge because they really hurt me in a very deep way. So I'm gonna forgive them on the surface level, but I'm not gonna truly let my heart be transformed. I'm not gonna let God's words of forgiving someone truly come in through my ears and take place in my heart to actually forgive someone, because that's too hard, God. I can't do that much. I can offer a little bit of myself as a living sacrifice, but not the whole thing. But this is not what God wants. This is not what God wants. God says, I want all of you. God wants the entire part of you, the entire self, everything about you to be dedicated to him, right? So being a living sacrifice means daily obedience, which is daily worship of God, right? When we walk in obedience to God, we are worshiping God in that way with our bodies, with our minds, with our spirits, right? So it could be as simple as, I'm going to convict myself here, say no to eating terrible foods. So if we're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, didn't the law of Moses require that all his sacrifices had to be unblemished and without defect and pure and holy and all that kind of stuff? So when we eat those terrible foods, right, that aren't good for us, we know the bad things. They taste good, they feel good for a little bit, and then they make us feel awful right afterwards, right? Talking to myself on this one because I love candy and sugar and all the bad stuff. So saying no to eating things that aren't good for us, but really truly trying to eat in a way that honors God with our bodies. Oh, here's another one. Giving up gossiping about other people. That's a living sacrifice. Yeah. Saying no to speaking about someone behind their back with wrong intentions, of tearing them down so you can build yourself back up, right? Living sacrifice says, I'm not going to talk about that person. I'm going to offer all of myself. I'm going to offer that on the altar. I'm not going to actually engage in this talking about other people, right? It could look at like controlling your thoughts, controlling your eyes, right? What you're looking at, not looking at other people in certain ways. It could be the way you speak about things, how you control your tongue. How do you speak life or death into people? So again, it's all these things that we have to offer. We have to be living sacrifices and daily choose to lay down our own lives and worship God in that way. Right. And so it's living because it's brought alive to the altar. I'm alive. Physically, I'm alive. I'm also alive in Christ. Right. My spirit is alive in Christ. And so it's a living sacrifice because it's brought that way to the altar And it's living because it also stays alive at the altar, which means it's ongoing. And so, speaking of ongoing, obedience is walking, right? This is where we really see things start to be apparent in the Bible. Oftentimes, you will hear God say that God says that if you walk in obedience to my commands, if you walk in obedience to me, if you walk in obedience, if you walk in obedience, it says it over and over and over and over again in the Bible. I want you to go read through the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, in the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? The books of Moses. A lot of talk about walking in obedience to God. And so that means we are to walk in the way of God, right? And so what does that word walking mean? Well, it means that I am moving in the direction of obeying God. When I walk in obedience, I am walking in the way the Lord has directed me. I am walking in the way that God has directed me to walk. To do so any other way is to disobey God. And y'all, this is hard. This is so hard. Because again, we have flesh. We are humans. We want to do things in our own way. But God says, if you walk in obedience to me, there's actually rewards for that obedience. There are rewards for walking in obedience to God. God says, it will go right with you. You will prosper in the land that I'm giving you. You will be blessed. You will so many other things. There are many, many blessings to walking with God. But again, that's not the purpose. We don't walk in obedience to receive blessings. We walk in obedience because we love God, because we know and we trust that his ways are better than anything else we could do for ourselves. Okay. So again, I mean, how ironic is it that, so we're going to go back to Genesis 3, right? Like after Genesis 3, the rest of the Bible talks about God saying, if you will walk in obedience, if you will walk, when that's exactly what God was doing with Adam and Eve in the garden, right? So God is walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. And now after they have sinned, after they have disobeyed God in Genesis 3, God now says for the rest of Scripture, if you walk in obedience to me, because God is saying that when you walk in obedience to him, you are walking with him. When you walk in obedience to God, you are actually walking with him, because that's what Adam was doing. That was the original design for what we were supposed to experience. This relationship with God, to walk with him in obedience. So when we obey and we respond, again, Shema, when we hear God saying something and we listen to what he is saying, we hear those things, we listen, we let it transform our hearts, we are walking with God. And again, that's everyday worship. That is every day that we walk with God. So again, God says, if you walk in obedience, you are walking with him. You are walking with God. God says, when you walk in obedience, you're walking with me. And walking with me is better than walking any other way you could ever walk. So again, I just want to share a couple of verses. There are many, many, many verses that talk about walking with God in the Bible. And so Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, right? This is a common example of what Moses gives to the Israelites and says to the Israelites right before they enter into the promised land. And it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him. There's that phrase, right? To love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. God does not call us to walk in obedience because it's punishment. It's because it's for our own good, because it's better. There are guidelines that God has set up to protect us and to give us these good things, to reward us, to have us stay on the path that he has called us to. Okay. And then 2 John, I'll give you a New Testament kind of one, because it's, again, it's all through the Bible. And John says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, John's even referencing what you've heard from the beginning, all the way back from Adam and Eve to Moses to Abraham to everybody else. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And so when you walk in obedience, not only are you walking with God, which is enough in and of itself, but you are also walking in love. You are walking in love, which is the same love as Christ loved us. Okay. When you walk in obedience, you are walking in love with Jesus, with God. Okay. Last point is that obedience is action. Okay. Obedience is action. It's just like that song that we heard at the beginning. The song called Obedience, by the way, by Lindy Coffer and the Circuit Riders, I believe. If you just look up the song Obedience, worship song, you can find it. It's a great song. But she says that, how did she say it? It's my life laid down. It's more than words. There's action involved. We can say, oh, I obey God all the time, but never obey God at all. Right. So obedience is more than just saying that you obey God. It's actually living it out. Okay. And this is why, you know, this necklace that I have on, this is why it has Genesis 6:22 engraved on it. Because this is like, I try to do this in my daily life and I just feel like this is what God's calling me to do. And again, I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to say that I get this right every day either, because I don't. I certainly do not. But that's why I'm encouraging you today to try to do this, because when you do, it's a life filled with rewards. And so Genesis 6:22 says, and Noah did everything that God commanded him. Again, my name's Noah. And it says that Noah did everything that God commanded him. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get that on a necklace. Happens to be my wife's birthday, 6:22 as well, which is great. Right? So again, there's action involved in what we do. And I just want to say that it is a privilege to obey God. Okay. A shout out to Pastor Stephen Furtick. Thank you for this little point in these notes for here, right? Because he talks about this verse, this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. And the sermon that Stephen gives, it's about the Shunammite woman who hears that Elijah the prophet is coming to visit, is passing through this way. And she says, let's build a room for him, right? Let's add onto our house. Let's build a whole separate room for this prophet coming through, and we will take care of him. We will provide for him. We'll bless him, right? So that Shunammite woman never heard from God to build a room. God never commanded her to build a room for Elijah. But she knew something about obeying God. She knew something about obeying God, that it is a privilege to obey God, because her obedience meant a sacrificial giving of herself, of her resources, of what she had to serve someone else. And oftentimes this is what obedience will look like in your life. God will call you to serve somebody in a not so easy way. God will call you to bless somebody else in a not so easy way, right? She did not have to do this. She did not have to build a room. God did not ask her to obey this command that he gave her. She freely did it because she knew who God was, because she knew the blessings she had already experienced before from God, right? And y'all, this might sound kind of harsh, but God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me, right? But he chooses us and he wants to partner with us. So sometimes God will ask us to do things and he says, if you don't do it, I'll find someone else. Had she not built this room, right? God never asked her to again, but God could have said, well, if you don't build a room, someone else will. I will convict and I will nudge someone else to build a room for the prophet. So that's where this is a privilege to obey God, because God says, I've got 7,000 other people who have not bowed down to Baal, right? That's another story of Elijah. God says that I have 7,000 people reserved who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I can call upon anybody else to do this thing I'm asking you to do, because God wants to bless you. God says, I want to bless you. I want you to partner with me. I want you to walk with me. So it's a privilege to obey God, because God does not demand our obedience. He doesn't. Because Moses said, if you walk in obedience, right? Moses says that God says, if you walk in obedience, because we have a choice. God doesn't demand it. He wants it freely given. He wants us to choose to obey him, because there's blessings in that. And that's why Paul again says, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, offer yourselves completely as a living sacrifice. That's your true and proper worship, because you're freely giving of yourself to God. You have a choice to make about the way you live for God. You have a choice to make if you obey Christ. You have a choice to make before anything else. You have a choice to make to accept Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. You have a choice. You can accept God. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can invite him into your life and follow what he says. But you don't have to. But I would strongly recommend you do, because you are missing out on eternal life. You are missing out on so many other things if you do not. And so Jesus gave us the example of pure, wholehearted obedience. Okay? Jesus gives us the example. Romans 5:19 says, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man," that's Adam. Paul's talking about Adam. We're bringing it all together now, right? So Paul says, through the disobedience, through not hearing and not listening to what God has said and not letting that thing sink into his heart, through the disobedience of Adam, the many were made sinners. And that's you and I. He says, so also through the obedience of the one man, that's Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Because when we have Jesus, we are made righteous in God's eyes. Right? Because of Adam, through the one act of disobedience, we have all been made sinners. But through the one act of obedience in Jesus Christ, we will be made righteous when we have him in our lives. And look at also what Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says. This is about Jesus, right? Paul says, who being in very nature God, because Jesus is God in the flesh, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Right? Christ did not consider himself to be God to be used for his own selfish gain. It says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Right? And this is what Christ has done for us. He humbled himself. He obeyed God. He became obedient to death on a cross. He did not want to do this. If you read about the Garden of Gethsemane in the Bible, Jesus asked God, his Father, to take away this cup that he was about to drink from, of being crucified, of taking the entire sins of the world upon himself. And he said, not my will. Jesus said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. He was a living sacrifice. Jesus Christ was our living sacrifice to bring us back into a right relationship with God, to restore that relationship. So now we have the opportunity to walk in obedience with God again, to walk with him as Adam did. And you can experience this. You can experience this today. This is not something that just happens when we die and go to heaven. You can walk with God and experience his presence with Christ living in you today. So one man, Adam, separated us from God, but one man, Jesus Christ, brought us back to God. And so if you are on this call, if you are listening now to these words, to my voice, if you are hearing what I am saying, then you understand that there is no other choice to make for eternal life, to walk with God, than to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one goes to the Father except through me. And so if you are on this call and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your moment. This is time. This is for you. This is for you. Because again, through Christ's obedience, through his living sacrifice that he gave for us, for me, for you, for every person on this call, for everybody who would come to know him, he offered all of himself. He experienced that separation from God that Adam did in the very beginning, so that we could now experience that right relationship, experience that fullness of that relationship with God again. Right? Because again, we've all disobeyed. If we are honest, we have all disobeyed because we've gone our own way. Isaiah 53:6 says this, and you can read that. This is what happened. We've all disobeyed. We have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God, but God caused the iniquity. God caused the sin of all of us, of every single sin that has ever happened in human history, past, present, and future. God caused all of that sin to fall on his son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have that relationship with him when we invite him into our lives to be our Lord and Savior. And again, maybe some of you on this call, probably most of you on this call, have heard this verse before because we share it with you. The wages of sin is death. Y'all, disobedience is sin. That's a hard one to think about. Disobeying God is sin, because that's exactly what happened at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. They disobeyed, sin entered the world. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not in your own strength, not by following other prophets and gods and stuff. Eternal life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what he has done is he has brought us from death to life, right? Christ paid the price. We have earned our wages in sin. We've earned enough, right? Because one sin has separated us completely from God. And so we've earned enough from our sins. Through disobeying God, we have earned our wages of sin. And that spiritual death that we will now face if we do not have Jesus Christ living within us, if we do not believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will experience a spiritual death. But again, God gave us the free gift of eternal life. And that eternal life means that now we get to have a relationship with God, not just one day in heaven, but right now you can experience the peace, the love, the eternal life with God. Because once you accept Jesus, that eternal life that you have now, it starts now. It starts right now because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took everything upon himself to die for us. And so when he died on the cross, and he shed his blood, he did so for you, for me, specifically for you, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could have a relationship with him, and so that you could experience eternal life with him. And so if you are on this call and you are saying, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to say this prayer right now. And so if you are on this call and you are saying that's you, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me, with all of us right now. So say it with me. Father God, I know that I am a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son, Jesus, died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.